This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Can you imagine? He loves a hot pocket.
You know what? The hot pockets are great. They're delicious and probably nutritious. You know, I eat them a lot. I had one this morning. Think about that.
So he eats. Henry traditionally has never been a breakfast person, ever.
Oh, never. I can have a hot pocket in the morning. It takes 2 minutes. If I want to make cereal, I have to get the box. I have to get the milk, a bowl.
Yeah, but it's also, this is like terrible, like parenting. I get so...
No, Mom, let me talk about my hot pocket addiction now, okay?
Sorry, carry on.
So it's 2 minutes to cook a hot pocket and you eat it, boom, I'm not hungry anymore and it's tasty.
But I also offer to make you like delicious food. Like I'll make you pasta cacio e pepe. I'll make that for you with some carrot batons and hummus. And you're like, whatever, I'm having a hot pocket.
You see, would you want to go through all that effort? Or do you want me to put a hot pocket in the microwave? Sorry, we're off topic.
I know, we're so off topic. Quick, I've come back to the topic. Back.
Hello, I'm Minnie Driver. Welcome to Mini Questions Season 2. I've always loved Proust's questionnaire. It was originally a 19th century parlor game where players would ask each other 35 questions aimed at revealing the other player's true nature. It's just the scientific method, really. In asking different people the same set of questions, you can make observations about which truths appear to be universal. I love this discipline. And it made me wonder, what if these questions were just the jumping off point? What greater depths would be revealed if I asked these questions as conversation starters with thought leaders and trailblazers across all these different disciplines? So I adapted Proust's questionnaire and I wrote my own 7 questions that I personally think are pertinent to a person's story. They are, when and where were you happiest? What is the quality you like least about yourself? What relationship, real or fictionalized, defines love for you? What question would you most like answered? What person, place, or experience has shaped you the most? What would be your last meal? And can you tell me something in your life that's grown out of a personal disaster? And I've gathered a group of really remarkable people, ones that I am honored and humbled to have had the chance to engage with. You may not hear their answers to all 7 of these questions. We've whittled it down to which questions felt closest to their experience or the most surprising or created the most fertile ground to connect.
Hi, I'm Henry Driver, sitting in today for my mom, Minnie, on this special episode of Mother's Day edition for Mini Questions. My guest today is perhaps unsurprisingly Minnie Driver. Hi, Mom. How's it going?
It's going well.
Good. Congratulations on your new book.
Thank you, darling. You're in it.
I'm in it. Wow. Oh, that's pretty cool. I'm in a book.
You're hosting my podcast and you're in a book.
I'm practically taking over your career, Mom.
Blimey. Actually, I could use some youthful energy.
I think we look close enough. We could probably switch out for some movies or something.
I wonder if anyone would actually notice. You're almost as tall as me now. Like, if you just rocked up on set one day and were like...
I mean, that would be very cool. I think we sound similar as well, so it would just be a perfect match.
Well, I like doing my impression of you, but I know you don't like it when I do it.
Hey, would I like doing my impression of you, Miss Elizabeth?
Wait, do more. I love it when you do an English accent. I'm going to have a bath.
Oh, cherries and tomatoes. Oh, darling, no.
No, it's not tomatoes, it's tomatoes.
Oh, sorry, tomatoes. Let me have a bath with some tomatoes on the sofa.
Okay, that's ridiculous. I'm really grateful that you're doing this, darling. This is our Mother's Day edition. And, you know, Mother's Day and my book was just published yesterday. Like, it's quite auspicious, which is what makes me grateful that you're doing this. So thank you.
Thank you, Mum, for having me on at such a special time.
Okay, over to you.
Cool. Well, let's get into the questions. The first question, as you know, is when and where were you happiest?
Right. Well, my happiest moments, they are always on the beach with everyone. And by that, I mean our family and friends. And there's surf involved. And like a long day at the beach and then us staying and having a barbecue on the beach as, you know, it's dusk. And how Mum would always have her cocktail shaker of vodka and tonics, like handy.
Yeah, I remember that.
I loved, do you remember she had these amazing red frame glasses and she'd have her red lipstick and she'd be in some cool puffer jacket because it was England and it would be cold. And she'd be sitting in her chair. I think I've got so many pictures of her just roaring with laughter whilst reading the newspaper while pouring herself a vodka and tonic, like in the middle of nowhere in Cornwall.
Oh, those were good memories. Why do you think it's on the beach?
You know, I was reading something the other day about how as you get older, you return to the memories that you had as a child. So basically, I think before everything, you know, sorry for the spoiler alert, but everything gets messed up as you get older.
Mom, you're spoiling life for me. Come on, this is like...
You know what I mean? It's like, I read this thing saying that you return to these places, you recreate them in your adult life. The places that you feel happiest are the places that you were actually happiest when you were a child. And like pre-everything, pre-my parents' separation, pre-everything in our lives, me and my sister's life changing, I just remember the beach. Only good things happen at the beach. The ice cream van, learning to swim, full attention from my parents because otherwise, you know, you might run off and get lost or drown. So they had to pay attention to you. My sister burying me, you've seen those pictures, right? Of Kate used to bury me up to, with just my head showing, and then she would literally leave. And I would be in a hole, not able to get out.
I mean, I think that also for me, that would be a perfect memory. I mean, sitting in a nice enclosed pit of sand by myself, tide coming in.
Oh, the thrill.
The thrill, yes.
You do love it. You did make me do that the other day.
Yeah, but like that was as a joke. I mean, I don't see the joke with Auntie Kate.
I gave you boobs and a fishtail, I seem to remember, which was really infantile on my part. And I apologize, but it was funny.
Yes, Mum. I now have that video, so blackmail.
Are you aware? I know you're supposed to be asking me the questions, but like, are you aware of times that you're happy? Like, do you clock it when you're like going, God, this is a really good time? Like, do you have an awareness of them happening?
I think I have a vague awareness. I think you don't know it's better until the moment's over, which I think is why the beach is so good because, you know, in the moment, you're splashing around, then you leave. And it's sort of like you look back on that and you're like, wow, that was really good. And so I think I don't notice, but then when I've left, I notice.
That's a really good point. In fact, that is so interesting because I was thinking that right before we did this, I was, as you know, I went out for a surf. That path from our house to the beach that I've walked 1,000 times, I still have that feeling when I come around the corner and I'm walking down the path towards the ocean and the sage, the smell of like hot, warm sage is blowing and it's sunny and it's beautiful and I can sort of hear tinkly voices from the beach. It's like it triggers all those other memories of the beach, like all those other memories of happiness are triggered every time I return to this beach. So, but it's almost like it's on a loop in some deep place in my heart. And maybe that's it, that we should keep triggering our happy place. We should keep finding ways of triggering our happy place, like whatever that is in our life.
Yeah, whether it's, on the beach, in the city, wherever it is, you're just trying to go back to there and have it happen again.
Yeah, or have a new experience in that place that you categorically know is a place that you have been happy. I don't know if that always works.
I think that definitely makes sense.
Good, I'm glad I'm not sounding drunk. That's good.
What quality do you like least about yourself?
I mean, I know that you'll probably have an opinion about this, but the thing that drives me maddest about myself is, so I'm explaining this to you even though you watch it happen, often. When something difficult happens, I don't let it just be about that difficult thing that's happening. It's like that thing becomes a magnetic ball that attracts all of the other difficult things that are either going on currently or have gone on in the past or might happen in the future. And they all attach to this magnetic ball that was just one small problem. And suddenly it's this overwhelming ball of catastrophe. And it drives me insane. And I'm completely aware that I do it. And Addison is really good at stopping me now and going, hold on. This was about the waste disposal not working for the sixth day in a row, not about your current unemployment.
I know what you mean. I've seen it happen before when I'm sitting, eating like some Raisin Bran in the kitchen. And I think something minor comes in and it becomes a bigger thing. I don't think it's your fault. I think it's just sort of a way that your brain is programmed, if you know what I mean. I don't think it's really changeable, but I don't think it's the worst thing. I still love you.
I love it. Do you really think it's not programmable? Because if you have awareness about something, do you not think that awareness is like the first step to changing it?
Yeah. I mean, when I say programmed, I don't mean like you can never change it. I'm just saying that's sort of like born into you.
Yeah.
Sort of like how, I used to have blonde hair. Now I don't have blonde hair. It can change.
Can evolve.
But it takes time. You have to put work into it. I didn't put work into my hair, but you know what I mean? Yeah, bad analogy. But
it's a great analogy, darling. I liked it. The thing is, I then use that against myself and it becomes part of my ball of catastrophe going, why are you not changing quick enough? Why are you aware of this thing? And why on earth, you see how distressed you become and how distressing that is for the people around you. So why do you keep doing it? I don't quite understand what needs to happen in order to evolve. I would like to have a drink like Alice in Wonderland to speed up the evolution of certain aspects of my psyche.
I get what you mean. I guess also just, that's part of being human. We have issues that we bring and then we all deal with issues in different ways. You bring other things in. Some people, they'll try to ignore it. It's always different for people. But I think if you're really trying to change it, which I don't think you need to, because I mean, you're perfect in every way, Mom.
Oh, stop it.
I think if you're really trying to change it, you have to really believe that you can. Because if you're constantly, I know that everyone says this, but if you're constantly being angry and you're attaching things and you're doing things you don't want, you have to really focus on what's happening and you have to try to move away from it.
It's true. It's like you come back to the present moment and go, all of that other stuff isn't happening. It's just this one thing.
I know that seems incredibly difficult at the time because, you're thinking, oh no, the pie's burning. I'm unemployed. There's a bunch of stuff happening. I'm not saying that to be bad.
That's literally how it goes. We both know that is exactly how it goes. The apple pie is burned and I can't get a job.
I don't mean it to be mean. I'm just repeating what you said before. I'm sorry.
It's so not mean. It's so exactly true. I'm here for it.
I think you're saying those things. And we really just have to do is think, okay, the apple pie is burned, but it's fine. We still have some lasagna, I'm going to find a job. And you just have to think that it's not forever. And you can move away from that. And you can get away from that place and you can find positives. It's difficult because in the moment you feel like you're useless and it's all bad and nothing else is going to happen to you that's good. But over time, you have to know that it's all just, it's going to fit together like a little puzzle and just become good.
It's absolutely true, darling. I think that is sage advice. It is really just taking a breath and going, in this moment, just this thing is happening. And it's just like taking a running jump off a cliff. And I think we do that as people, or I know I do it. And I really hope that this conversation is a sea change in the way in which I belly up to the trickier things in life sometimes. So, thanks for the empathy, babes.
Don't worry, Mom. I think it's part of being your son. We have to be empathetic. What relationship, real or fictionalized, defines love for you?
Well, if you weren't interviewing me, I would say you, like becoming a mother. And maybe it's pertinent because it's Mother's Day, but there are really two things. This is a two-prong. It really did. My ideas about love and what that was when you were born, it wasn't even like it was suddenly like this great aha moment. It is like this deep inner knowing that it is completely okay that everything you thought before about love was sort of pales in comparison from this actual definition of it. It is this all-encompassing, unconditional feeling of peace and that everything is right. And that's the only way that I can describe it. And the tangent off that is like the love that I have for Addison, which is that feeling of things just being right. And then the other, I guess this is three-pronged, not two-prongs, you know, it's more of a fork, is with surfing. How I feel about surfing and when I'm surfing, it dovetails into how I felt when you were born and how it was to fall in love with Addison, which is, again, this feeling of it's dynamic. It requires you being completely present. There is huge respect in it and strength. You can never underestimate it. And in a way, if you humble yourself to it, you will reap the rewards, but it requires a lack of ego, an insistence on things being done your way. There's something about surrender in love. And like having a baby is the ultimate surrender. Like your body, like when you first start having contractions, you know, which are the pains that you have to have a baby, you're just like, no, this can't happen. This can't happen. I can't do this. You have no choice. You just have to keep going and surrender to it in the same way that I ultimately surrendered to Addison's kindness. Like I'd never really been with someone who kindness was their fundament and respect was their fundament. So those three things for me, you, Addie, and surfing are my pyramid of love.
A triangle is the strongest shape.
Is that right?
Yeah, I just want to put that up.
I know, because you're in school paying attention to geometry.
Of course, paying attention, yeah. Well, back on topic off of school, I think that's a really interesting definition of love because I know there's a lot of people that say love is just about being with people and it's connecting, but not connecting on a deeper level. I think what you're really saying is you're not just there with them and you're not being with them. You're not, you know, like helping them with the groceries, but you're with their personality or like you're really there with them instead of, you know, just being there to cook them food. You're there for the love and you're there for the surrenders. And you're there for the good times, the bad times, and not just the times where you want to be there.
That's so funny because what I hear in that is it speaks to the duality of being a human being. You have this physical experience, which is doing the groceries, taking care of the thing, the this, the that, all of which are expressions of love. 100%. Like when you make me breakfast in bed, when you make my coffee and eggs and toast, that is an expression of love. And then there's the spiritual side of being a human being, which is slightly more difficult to articulate, but just that deep feeling of peace and safety with someone. Like, strangely, that's how I felt like during COVID when it was just you, me and Ads together in this really scary time, seeing really scary things happen and terrible things happening to so many people. But that feeling of us together was the safe unit. But it's funny, isn't it? There's the human, the physical experience. And then there's this like more, I guess spiritual is the only way, etheric experience that maybe runs parallel with it.
Yeah, so it's a two-pronged form.
So it is a two-pronged.
I'd say the third prong, it's there. It's just maybe on the other side, you know? So it's like stabby instead of pokey.
It's stabby instead of pokey.
So it's a double-sided, two-pronged and one-pronged fork.
My definition of love is three-pronged, but you're saying like existential love is two-pronged, human and spiritual.
Yeah.
Great. I think you should write a book, babes.
Wow, the two-pronged fork of love.
Yeah, I'd buy that book. I'd buy that. I think we should illustrate that cover later. The two-pronged fork of love.
Following up with your whole, what you've been saying, do you think you would have like answered this question differently 20 years ago? Like, you know, before you had me, before you've gone through all this stuff, etc.?
Yes, Christ, yes. I would have thought that this idea of romantic love, this idea of a family unit looking the way that I thought it was supposed to, even though I don't even come from that, which is, you know, two parents who are married who then have children. Like my parents weren't married. They had kids with other people. I had you without having a partner who was sort of, you know, doing the shared duties with. Like 20 years ago, I would have said that it was some romantic, ridiculous idea that had been pushed on me by how I'd processed society, which was looking around going, oh, if somebody chooses you and marries you, that means that you are loved, as opposed to being in life, discovering that love for yourself and seeing what kinds of expressions of that love show up, i.e. a beautiful baby that comes miraculously out of a connection with a person. You know, there's There's more magic now.
Wow, that's really beautiful how perspectives can change in, the, you know, 20 years.
Do you ever do that? Do you ever write down your thoughts now? Like a time capsule thinking, oh, I'm going to look back and just going to see. I'm going to leave a breadcrumb trail for myself and then I'll come back to this in 20 years and see what I think about it.
I think I've done that before. I think I've done it for school.
Yeah. It sounds a bit schooly, doesn't it? Sorry.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to, like, you know, down on your cool style, but it does feel sort of like, you know, write it down, think about it later. But I think your explanation of, you know, 20 years ago, how love sort of felt like something that you pushed instead of something that you felt. That's really beautiful. That feels, you know, it's like a little garden of love sprouting up and changing and evolving.
Oh, you know what? Also, like, that is actually a really clear indication that evolution is possible in my bumbling old brain. But actually, so maybe going back to that question before of like, will this, the stuff I don't like about myself, will that evolve? It's like, well, your idea about love evolved and...
Why can't that happen to other things?
That's true. So then maybe it'll be when I'm 80, I won't have a ball of catastrophe.
A two-pronged fork has turned into a spork.
It's turned into a spork. We're going to have like a whole tableware philosophy by the end of this.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
What person, place, or experience most altered your life?
Well, you did. Really, it's you. But like, it's going to become repetitive if I just keep saying that you, but you must know that, and people will know that, that you are the person who changed my whole life. But when I was much younger, a person who really did have this huge impact was this girl who, it's one of the stories in my book.
You're writing a book, Mom?
Did I tell you I have a book coming out? It's out right now. It's called Managing Expectations.
Well, Mom.
So in this book, there's a story about how when I left college, when I left drama school, you know, absolutely intent on becoming an actor, I was the only kid in my class to graduate without getting representation, you know, an agent or a manager. Nobody was interested. All my friends got them. I didn't. And I was absolutely stuck. I had no idea what I was supposed to do. Like, my whole life since I was 5 or 6 years old had just been gunning for this notion of becoming an actor. And I'd also been told that the only way that you could get work as an actor is if you had representation. So there I was, 19, absolutely stuffed. And Mum was so hilarious. She was like, right, well, suppose you better just get a job as a waitress. She had no sympathy at all. She was just like, go and find a way to pay your rent.
We need money now, please. Get on with it.
Yeah, exactly. Get on with it. So I was like, okay. And I had to work. I didn't have any money. So I was singing in jazz clubs. I was like doing whatever I could. I hated waitressing. So I was a terrible waiter. Like I was always questioning people's wine choices. You know, like my dad, sadly, had taught me about wine. And I would mutter under my breath, oh, God, don't order the Pinot Grigio with the beef.
That is just what I was thinking. Oh my God. I was literally just thinking. I pictured you saying, dude, hold on, the Pinot Grigio.
Terrible. So I'd get fired often. So then I just started singing in jazz clubs and dinner jazz. No one was listening. And through the summer, it was this explosion of this music called Acid House. And I would go to these parties, these raves out in the middle of the countryside in like warehouses and barns and wherever. And these huge parties. And it was amazing. And you just dance all night till it got light and then a bit further. And then you go home. And during that time, because I wasn't really I don't drink a lot. And I didn't really do all the drugs that the kids were doing at that time. So I was pretty sober and I would be driving home. And there was this one girl who I'd always seemed to be, you know, I'd connect with her because she was also sober. And we'd like have these great conversations. And like we partied all through the summer and had this great time. And she was just really cool. But we never really hung out in between. We just see each other at these parties. And towards the end of the summer, I was just dreading September. Reality was bench pressing in the parking lot, waiting for August the 31st to switch over to September 1st. And then I was just going to get my ass kicked. And we must have been driving home early one morning. And she was like, you know, what do you do? And I was like, oh, go well, you know, I'm supposed to be an actress. And she was like, what do you mean supposed to be? I was like, well, I left school. I don't have any work. I'm singing. I'm trying to do that. I don't know what I'm doing. And she was like, oh, I work for a casting director. And I was like, do you? And she was like, yeah, you should come and meet her. And that was like on the Saturday night, Sunday morning. And on the Monday, I went and met this casting director who was one of the nicest people and one of the biggest casting directors in the UK and in the world. And I don't know what she saw in me. I had nothing to recommend me except a smart mouth and making some jokes. And she called up an agent who had seen me in a play at drama school and had been like, she's rubbish. And she just convinced her to give me a trial, just to give me a try. Just try me out for a few weeks and see if I could do something. That girl that I used to go raving with, she really did change my life.
Wow. I feel like I've heard some of it before. I think that's really cool. How life just kind of, life finds a way.
It does, actually.
For the next question, what question would you most like answered? I know this is the difficult one for you. You told me it's going to be a bit hard.
I ran into Henry's bedroom like before we were like setting up for this. And I was like, babe, I don't know what to say to this question. Like, I don't know what. Like, I've been asking it and I ask it because I don't really know. What should I say? And Henry just sat there watching me eat turkey and lettuce going, I don't know.
I said, how long does a battery last? Because that would be pretty cool.
Or, I mean, I do want to know, why does my electric car tell me that I have 260 miles and then I drive 16 miles and it says that I've used up 50? It's such a lie. Like that bugs the crap out of me. But I know what that's just to do with commerce and like, you know, metrics and the way stuff looks. The question I would most like answered is, I want to know how to stop this savagery that man shows to people. And I say man because it is always men starting wars and creating this profound unrest. I want to know, rather than like, will it ever end? I want to know how to stop it, like as a society, like how we could globally unite to stop this, that there would be like, what's the protocol when you start to see the troops amassing on a border? What do you do? How do we all come together really quickly to stop that from happening? I would like to know that.
That's sort of expanding on the end world hunger kind of thing.
Do you mean like solving like these huge issues that we have as people?
Yeah, like these massive issues. But I think that's sort of like, that's like taking it a step further with wanting to know how. But I think, yeah, you're definitely right. If there's a tier list of questions that need to be answered, it's pretty high up there.
Well, it's kind of like a here question, right? It's the same thing about saying that we're human or spiritual, because obviously I want to know, am I going to see mum again? Am I going to see her again? If someone could just tell me that, I wouldn't worry so much. I wish I could know that. But that's also this sort of spiritual question. Then there are these human questions about being here and now. Like, could we actually affect change here? If we knew the answer to some of these huge questions, could we make this experience less awful for so many people?
I think, well, because, yeah, you sort of shown the two roads, the sort of question for yourself and the question for humanity.
Yeah. Like, I'm referencing what's happening in the Ukraine right now, and it feels, it's like a dead end because
we don't know how to or what's going to happen. I mean, I think that's one of the issues with one some of the big questions. You ask them and there's no real answer. It's sort of, it leads to a dead end. But I think exploring that, I think that's really, that's important. Sort of like, you know, knowing what life means, knowing how to make peace. I think when it means dead end, I think that sort of means very important and too important to have a short answer.
Mm.
It would take textbooks upon textbooks to solve, you know, peace and world hunger, because there's just, there's so many different sides to it. It's really difficult to sort of create one single piece of perfectness.
But let me ask you this. Why do you think, Addison would say it's because of tribalism, but we are human beings before we are our tribes. Why as human beings can we not unite around that humanity? Why is it always about the tribalism and the kind of furthering? What Putin is doing is like the furthering of Putin's agenda. Like, he's also a person. Like, how does that get... This is so terrible, you poor thing. I'm so sorry that I'm pushing this on you.
Oh, no, it's completely fine. I've thought about this, like, you know.
But I wonder why the humanity doesn't come first. Like, why isn't there a chip in our brain, a part of our brain that kicks in when we start acting only in our own self-interest? How come there isn't this thing that completely reminds us that we are part of something so much bigger, and we're people. We're not just a person.
I don't want to say tribalism, but I think since we are descendants of the ape, I feel like apes, they're very tribalistic. They like territory. They're, I mean, as much I know as of apes, I think since our brains have evolved from them and we've evolved from, you know, wanting to be together with our tribe and wanting to keep out the others, I think there's just that small bit from being apes. I think that's left in our brain of just that we don't want our tribe to be taken away from us. It all leads back to, I don't know what the word, I'm going to say apeism, because that sounds correct. So it all leads back to apeism, the evolution.
I think they call it the reptilian brain.
I prefer apeism too.
I'm going to go with apeism now. The monkey brain, the monkey mind.
Yeah, it's the monkey mind. If we evolved from, you know, like, if we evolved from something that didn't really care, if we evolved from, like, turtles, I'm going to make some turtle specialists very mad now, but I'm just assuming the turtles, they don't really care about territory and tribes. If we evolved from them, well, we'd have shells, but we'd also sort of, we wouldn't care as much.
But darling one, you know what? You being able to see that and you being 13, it gives me hope that that question I want answered is that it's possible. It might get answered and that a global response to territorial terrorism might be found with your generation.
Yeah, I don't think you need to bust in my room with your turkey and salad. You had that figured out.
Thank you, darling. I just needed to talk to you about it and I figured out what my question was.
Don't worry about it, Mom. I'm very easy to talk to, I've been told.
You really are. I think I told you. I made you.
Yes, good for you, Mom. You know, thank you for the reminder.
I'm not taking credit for you completely. You are you, truly.
Another book idea.
You are, letter R, you, !!
Yeah, we need like really cool colors, a nice like grayscale photo of someone looking off in the distance. We have this book, Mom.
By the way, that is what I didn't want for my memoir. The whole idea of like a black and white grayscale picture of me sort of like, you know, hand under your chin, kind of staring off out of the ocean.
Yeah, just like looking off like this.
Yeah, just looking like pensive.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with The 7 every weekday. So follow The 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
What would be your last meal?
Well, it's about that it would be with people. So it would be with you, Ads, Auntie Katie, Percy, Jess, Lily, Mum, Dad, my stepmother, my two brothers and their families. And it would be us on a beach, but with it would be catered by this restaurant on the Amalfi Coast called Lo Scoglio, which is the best food I've ever eaten, the most transporting food I've ever eaten in my life. And there would be a way of making sure everything was like hot and the perfect temperature and perfectly served, but we would all be on the beach together. And then at the end of eating, I know it sounds nuts, but there's this courgette zucchini, in American, pasta that is unlike anything I've ever eaten in my life. And these fresh anchovies, which are not like the anchovies that you think of in a can. They are white. They have just come out of the ocean with the warm tomatoes that come from the garden in the back of the restaurant. So these warm, vine-ripened by the sun tomatoes with these fresh white anchovies that have been grilled to perfection with olive oil and lemon on them. And they're presented on a plate in like a star. You lose your mind. You lose your mind, which if it's my last meal, I don't care about my mind anymore. I just want to be eating that food with all of you. And then at the end of that, right when we've just finished everything delicious, I want to hear the tinkling of an ice cream van. So I get that feeling that you get when you hear the tinkling of the ice cream van.
Brings you back to your childhood.
Yeah. And immediately you get that butterflies in your stomach. It still happens to me when I hear an ice cream van now. And then I want us all to race up the beach and go and get a Mr. Whippy with two flakes in it.
Two flakes, not three, not one. Two.
Nope, two. For American listeners, a Mr. Whippy is a soft serve ice cream that comes out in a coil into a cone. And a flake is this chocolate bar that you get in England that's arguably the most delicious chocolate bar, to me it is. And that's stuck in the top of the ice cream.
Crumbly. It's really nice.
Oh my God. That is my perfect last meal.
It's perfect.
And then I want to take off into whatever's next, like as if I had like power jets in my feet. So I would literally just wave goodbye to everybody and then just shoot straight out.
Oh, yeah. Fireworks with your ice cream.
And like a really good firework display and like really good music. And that would be as I ascended, because there would be some kind of ascent.
In your power rocket boots with your two flake, not one, not three Mr. Whippy from an ice cream van after you've eaten this delicious zucchini.
And then there would be a giant rainbow over the beach and glitter.
That's really great.
That is it. Min out.
Such a great answer. I think incorporating people that you love and stuff, that's really interesting.
And then Auntie Katie would be like, okay, let's pack up the leftovers. Don't waste anything.
Pack up quickly. We need to go. By the way, we have to go. Quickly, it's getting dark. We want to leave now.
It's getting dark.
If the meal has all your friends and family and everyone, what would you want to talk about?
I just love stories. I love it when people tell stories. But my dad used to tell the best stories. Mom used to tell the best stories. And I loved hearing the same stories. Like Mom and Dad used to tell the story and they would tell it about each other when the other one wasn't present and they'd tell it when they were together. It used to crack me up that they both would tell the story, which was when Mom and Dad went to Morocco and they went on this amazing, crazy adventure. And they were in this place and they were serving lamb. And my dad goes, the lamb was green. And Mom goes, the lamb had a green sauce. And my dad would be like, the lamb was green because it was bad. And my mom was like, the lamb had a green sauce because everyone knows that you eat mint sauce with lamb and that mint is very, very common in Morocco. So dad says, I told her not to eat it. And mom's like, he told me not to eat it. And I said, you're being ridiculous. And Dad said she wouldn't listen. And then Mum eats the lamb and obviously nearly dies of food poisoning. And my dad manages to be both completely empathetic and take care of her whilst also massively doing the I told you so dance as she's throwing up and almost dying from food poisoning. So that's what I would like everyone to be talking about. It's like telling the funniest stories and laughing really hard. Just like when we all start laughing in Cornwall.
Yeah.
That's my favourite thing.
In your life, can you tell me something that has grown out of a personal disaster?
Oh, yes. Looking back, I know that every time I thought the world was ending, when, you know, a relationship didn't work out, when I was suddenly broke and didn't know where the next job was coming from, when I look and I see invariably things grew out of all of those things. Mm. I have so many disasters because I think people do. But invariably, every choice that you're forced to make when something doesn't work out leads you to what your life is. And how can you not celebrate that? It's a heavy one, but it's true.
I got it.
When Mum died, I was like, it is not possible to recover from this. So I kept thinking, well, this is terrible. Nothing good can grow out of this. And it's true. For a long time, nothing did. And then, so strangely, like the little shoots you see on a tree that looks dead in winter, you know, the trees near our house in London that just look like there is no way they are coming back. And then one day in March, you see a little tiny green shoot coming out of a branch. And I had that this year because I was still feeling so much grief. And when I saw that little green shoot on the magnolia trees, I felt this thing inside. I felt this recognition that it was growing anew. And then it reminded me of Mum because she loved the spring. She died in the spring. She loved the spring. She loved the notion of renewal. She loved being able to say, it is shit right now, excuse my French, and it is going to get better. She loved that. So there was something in March of this year when I saw those shoots growing out of the trees, I knew it was going to be okay. And that didn't mean that I wasn't going to have days where I would miss her so much. But it reminded me that it is true that all things evolve, even grief, even loss. And sometimes they can evolve in the absence of the thing that you think has to happen to make you feel better. And in that case, it was, she has to be alive again in order for me to feel better. And the problem or the thing is that she isn't going to be alive again. And she would be the first person to scoff with laughter at me thinking that could ever happen. But she's definitely what gave me the ability to like notice the green shoots on the magnolia tree and actually connect that to the evolution of grief. It was a bit heavy, darling. Sorry about that.
No, it's fine. I mean, I lived through it as well. I got the same memories. So I think, yeah, wrapping that all around to the evolution thing where we all evolve, like it just full circled right on into the evolution again. It all can evolve. You know, dead trees, they grow sprouts. That might be the best analogy I've ever heard. I mean, that's, yeah, like, you know, the power of evolution.
Or renewal.
Renewal, yeah.
You know, of like how things re-up. They recycle, they regrow, which is, again, what makes me feel that the notion of death being an end seems really improbable, given that this whole universe seems to be about the continuation and the renewal of energy. And that's pretty much what we are.
It's been a lovely conversation. I'm sad that I've run out of questions.
Darling one, you're properly empathetic, Hen. And like I said, I have great hope for the future because of you.
Thank you, Mom.
You're welcome, my darling. Happy Mother's Day to both of us.
I mean, I'm not really a mother, but thank you.
You made me a mother, so I suppose I should sort of thank you.
We're in it together, like Fast and Furious, you know, like that kind of thing.
Family.
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 That's a perfect way to end this. Evolution and Vin Diesel.
You're amazing. Thank you.
Love you so much, Mom.
Love you. Love you.
Happy Mother's Day.
My Mom Minnie has a book out right now. You should definitely buy. It's called Managing Expectations, and it's kind of a memoir-ish. It's stories from her life about how life not working out is really life working out. You can see her in the movies Chevalier and Rosalind later this year, and thank you for listening to her podcast. She really loves doing it.
Mini Questions is hosted and written by me, Minnie Driver. Supervising producer, Aaron Kaufman. Producer, Morgan Lavoie. Research assistant, Marissa Brown. Original music, Sorry Baby, by Minnie Driver. Additional music by Aaron Kaufman. Executive produced by me, Minnie Driver. Special thanks to Jim Nicolay, Will Pearson, Addison O'Day, Lisa Castella and Anique Oppenheim at WKPR, Dela Pescador, Kate Driver and Jason Weinberg, and for constantly solicited tech support, Henry Driver.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.